knowledge fight. And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, sing My Way, and Ooh. Talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Indeed we are, Dan.
Regrets.
Dan.
I've had a few.
What is your regret spot today?
My regret spot today is kind of interesting.
Interesting?
Alex Jones, as we all know, lost a big verdict on
sure.
Wednesday.
Sure.
And as is sort of tradition, because we put out too much content.
Naturally.
The instant reaction that folks had, I got a lot of messages about, oh, there's going to be an emergency episode tonight. Well, that was on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And on Wednesdays, Survivor happens.
Sure.
And me and my friend Angela Lampsberry generally get together and watch Survivor. Although,
naturally.
We've not been able to, it's already like three episodes into the
season. It's been a struggle. No, I understand. We've talked.
So we have this whole thing of like everyone wants an emergency episode.
Right.
And simultaneously, everyone's like, hey, Dan, take a day off. Torn between two worlds.
It is a difficult situation.
So I went and watched Survivor. And that's
nice.
My bright spot. The
Good.
New season of Survivor. Pretty fun.
I'm glad.
Some fun characters on it. But also I went over and I got this enamel pin from Angela
Lansbury. I was waiting for you to tell me what that was.
This is Kevin from Up, the bird.
Oh, that makes sense. You love Kevin from Up,
my
the bird.
My favorite thing.
It is
my
your favorite
bird.
Animated character
yeah,
of all
so
time.
So playful.
Yeah.
Makes up for how bad Up is as a movie. Yeah, I said it.
That's dangerous. I think everybody remembers the first 5 minutes and then forgets the rest of it.
I have some troubling feelings about that movie as a whole. And that first 5 minutes was a problem.
Dark. I didn't ask for it.
It's not the darkness of it. It's I have some unpopular opinions about whether or not their relationship was healthy. I did an entire podcast about this years and years ago back in stand-up days, so I don't want to rehash it now, but...
yeah, now's not the
Kevin
time.
Kevin the Bird, saving grace.
Still the best.
And
yes.
I love this enamel pin, and the fact that it has a stand on it, because it's
oh,
so
shit.
Big
oh,
that you can
shit.
Stand it up. So
now yeah, that's good stuff.
That's going to be with me forever. So thank
that
you, Angela
spot.
Lampsberry. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Bright spot.
Yes.
What about you?
My bright spot, Dan, is two albums got dropped. Two! On the same day, very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure if it's the same day, but whatever. Freddie Gibbs album.
Sure.
Freddie Gibbs killing it. Everybody's for the past, his last three albums, they're like, he's the best rapper. He's pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Yeah Yeah Yeahs came back
what?
With a new album. The Yeah Yeah Yeahs.
Wait.
I know. And
what?
You know what they sound like? Mm. A different band. It sounds more like Karen O's more recent stuff. But it's great.
Mm.
It's really good.
All right.
Yeah, I like it. I like them both.
I got to be honest with you.
What?
The Yeah Yeah Yeahs are right in that spot where, like, I think I was in college when they were really popular.
Sure.
And I hated the people who were into, quote, college rock.
Ooh.
And they got put in that box.
That's fair.
But I do know Maps from Rock Band. This is not, I should
no,
be
No, we're all very
my...
excited for that. We're all really happy you know Maps from Rock Band.
That's how I discovered.
No, they have a really interesting backstory. It's
yeah.
It's kind of fascinating, you know, that
yeah.
New York pop, it would be dance punk scene from with the Rapture and mm-hmm. LCD Sound System and Yeah Yeah Yeahs all coming up at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Released their debut massive album on the same day as the blueprint same
Jay-Z.
Day. And it was also 9/11.
Oh.
That was also the reason that I remember that
okay.
specifically. It happened on 9/11.
You buried the lead a little
bit.
Their,
that
okay.
was my personal 9/11. It's 9/11. Yeah.
I was actually, as you were saying that, I got really deep into my head about like how much stuff I discovered through Rock Band.
Sure.
And honestly, like My parents didn't like the Beatles because they were very druggy, and so there wasn't
sure.
there wasn't like that influence in my childhood,
right?
And I didn't explore a ton of like older music as I was coming up,
right?
Like a lot of that energy got put into weird hip hop,
sure.
And so like that, I have a encyclopedic back.
You are a Saint lunatic, my friend.
That's my tattoo, is how Saint Louis I am.
Exactly.
But look, I don't have that about classic rock stuff.
Sure.
So a lot of that is kind of like.
Sure. Sure.
Big blind spot.
Man, we're old Beatles, if classic rock is yeah.
It's well, what I was getting to is the Beatles.
Yes.
When Beatles Rock Band came out, I didn't know most of those songs. And then Yesterday is on there. I was like, I know this song. I just didn't know it was the Beatles.
That's fascinating.
I was 22.
I have unpopular opinions about the Beatles and how much I despise them.
Wow.
But what you gonna do?
Well, let's not get into it now. Let's do it another day.
Now's not the time.
So Jordan, Alex lost a case.
Yeah. I've heard.
The verdict came in on Wednesday, and like I said, people tried to get me to not watch Survivor with my friend.
Bastards.
But I persisted in watching Survivor, and here we are.
Excellent.
We didn't want to do this on mic because it would run the risk of getting a bunch of champagne on my table. But we have a bottle of champagne.
Indeed.
That we are raising. This is a Argyle is the name of
it's a brute.
Yeah, and it's also Argyle, a fitting name. Street here in Chicago in Uptown.
True.
A lot of our
episodes recorded on Argyle.
Not true. Ainslie, the street next
to
Argyle.
You're right. You're
one
right.
Street over.
My
but
bad.
Yeah, that was my old hood
where
the podcast started. So it's very fitting. And so, yeah, we're having a little champagne while we discuss this. Sort of going back to our roots.
Absolutely. I wish I could get Boglejub champagne, but unfortunately.
It was just Bogle.
I understand. Bogle. It was Bogle. But if
and
we were going to get
wine.
Champagne. Yes.
I feel like that wasn't the first wine we drank.
No. The first wine we drank was very cheap.
So was Bogle.
Yes.
Anyway, Jordan, today we're going to be talking about the events of the 12th.
Yes.
That is the day of the announcement of the verdict. This is Wednesday. And so there's a couple things that we're going to be covering. Certainly, this will be incomplete. Mm-hmm. We'll have an episode that comes out this weekend that'll be a little bit of a special thing for folks.
Of course.
But then on Monday, I hope to get into a little bit more even of the aftermath. But I decided that what we would do is we would talk about Alex's response to the verdict, a little bit of the war room.
Yeah.
And then Alex did a special show that evening.
Right.
And so we'll talk about that.
I hear what you're saying is thoroughness is the enemy of immediacy. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, generally.
Yeah.
And sometimes things need to marinate a little bit.
That's how it works.
So we're going to get into this, talking about October 12th and the bullshit that happens. But before we do, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wonks.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So first, D of Team Stats. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much to Hi to Brianna from Rob. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, kudos to Judge for her restraint in not throwing a gavel at Alex. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
And I should be clear, that was about the Texas case. That's how far back we are.
I imagine
that was not
so.
About
let's,
this case.
Let's not worry about it.
Next, Robert, I love you. That's from Andra. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much. And I hope you know Robert. And this isn't a weird thing that's happening.
Not a parasocial thing with Robert
Evans.
Yeah,
that'd be creepy, yeah.
And the Goblin King of England. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
That is Paul Joseph Watson, according to some.
Oh, okay.
And we got a technocrat in the mix, Jordan.
Okay.
So, Sister Petra. Oh, no.
Oh.
In parentheses.
Uh-oh.
It says, pronounce Petra.
Oh, Dan.
Ooh,
Dan, you started reading too fast,
from
my
the
man.
Top. From
All
the
right.
top.
Let's edit that part out.
Sister Petra, for being my fellow wonk and shouting and learning with me. That is from Elkie. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk. I have risen above my enemies. I might quit tomorrow, actually. I'm just going to take a little breaky now. A little breaky for me. And then we're going to come back, and I'm going to start the show over. But I'm the devil. I got to be taken off here. I'll do all this. Blah, 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 blah. Fuck you. Fuck you. I got plenty of words for you, but at the end of the day, fuck you and your new world order, and fuck the horse you rode in on, and all your shit.
Maybe today should be my last broadcast. I mean, maybe I'll just be gone a month, maybe 5 years.
Maybe I'll walk out of here tomorrow and you never see me again. That's really what I want to do. I never want to come back here again. I apologize to the crew and the listeners yesterday that I was legitimately having breakdowns on air. I'll be better tomorrow.
He may never have to come back here tomorrow.
That's a good point.
At some point.
That is a good point.
He's not better today.
No.
So before we get into this, Jordan, I have an out of context drop for you to enjoy.
I could fart and have a million viewers. And I'm not bragging. It's just true. Because you're awesome folks who tune in. But we don't fart here. We're giving you real information.
We don't fart here.
We don't fart here. We don't fart here. If you want that shit, you go to OnlyFans. Go to OnlyFans for farts.
Alex on OnlyFans. No, don't bring that image into people's heads.
Well, I mean, InfoWars is going to go away. Why not InfoFans?
There's an interesting aspect to this that I think Alex could fart and have just the audience that he does because the things that he does aren't any more informative than farts.
That's true. That's true.
These people are just stuck.
It reminds me of a French man, I believe it was called Le Petit Man, and he would fart. But he was really, really good at it. He could make a bunch of different impressions of animals also through his farting. He was famous for having an enema every morning.
Sacre bleu.
He farted for kings, my friend. That is how great he was. He was an entertainer who farted his ass off.
All right. Well, Alex is farting for his life. We know that.
That's a good point.
So we all know why we're here today. So I decided to just blow past the first few hours of bullshit and rambling about nukes on Alex's show to get down to when the verdict is read.
Obviously.
This happened literally right after Alex had signed off in the fourth hour of his show. This is him going to break for commercials at 16 after the top of the hour. He just leaves.
Get your X3. Get your vitamin mineral fusion. Get it all at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, Jay Dyer takes over for the next 45 minutes. Then Owen Stroyer, and like I said, I'll be back at 6 p.m. Central. Please magnify the broadcast. You are the power. You're the reason we're successful. Share the links tonight. Tell folks tuning into this emergency broadcast.
Naturally, Alex did not leave, and Jay Dyer got the bump because after the commercial break, Alex comes back, and here's where we are.
Jay Dyer was set to host, but they just handed me a note during the break.
What did it say?
And it is, verdict will be read in about 2 minutes. So that's from my lawyer, Norm Pattis. It's being announced. They had a total show trial. They are now having the Secretary of State in Texas say they want to sue me for questioning the election, saying I unleashed hell on them. Didn't even question the Texas election. The Republicans won. But just total made-up crap.
Oof, that's an unfortunate reveal of Alex's true feelings. He didn't question the Texas election because Republicans won.
Duh.
Sure sounds like someone who's driven by concerns that are sincere about election integrity.
Hey, now, that might be him revealing too much in an offhand comment that he didn't think anybody would pay attention to.
He's above the left-right paradigm.
Totally, because Republicans won, and that's when you're above the left-right paradigm.
So about this, the Texas Secretary of State came out and made some comments about how severe the harassment that election workers had been getting were.
Right, right.
And Alex Jones is, you know, definitely a part of that.
Yeah, he's mentioned.
He's not going to get sued for this. That's not... I don't think that was even in... I read an article in The Hill about it. That wasn't even, like, a part of, like, he should face consequences for this.
Just sure.
Realize that there is this consequence for the
right,
actions.
Right, right, right. We're already there.
Yeah.
We've got the consequences down.
Yeah. So Alex goes to the verdict, and I will say, to his credit, he is not under any pretense that this is going to go well.
Okay.
But just total made-up crap where a public official, including an FBI agent, never said his name, don't know who his name, didn't even know who he was, so he sued me, suing me for $550 million as part of this. They want $8.25 billion just in the first count. There's four counts. That's what the lawyers asked for last week. For questioning Sandy Hook, never said the name of the FBI agent. So now bureaucrats can sue you under this precedent for asking questions. So they're about to announced the verdict. The jury took like 4 days of deliberation time, not counting the weekend, to come back. Here is the judge. Let's go to the audio of the biggest show trial in U.S. history with the jury. We'll see what happens. We'll see if they saw through it. I don't think they will. They're already told I'm guilty. Here it is.
Yeah, it's like, see if they saw through it. See if we pilled them.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think we did.
Hey, let's throw this one out there.
I think Norm shanked it. I mean, I don't think it went well.
It might as well have been him being like, I'm going to get down on my knees for a little while. I'm going to pray into this microphone, and the news is going to be bad.
But at the same time, I'm under no pretense that this is there's no good news coming, folks.
Let me ask you, folks, you know how much I believe in God? Well, I don't believe in him enough to think he's going to help me out here.
I am not going to get a miracle.
No.
So he has a prediction about this. He has some numbers in mind.
All right.
The judge looks pleased. Probably... $200 million? I don't have any money, so it's all a big joke. This is their trial. This is them on trial. There's Blumenthal's son, the anti-gun Democrat, running all this.
Yeah, so this is a good way to experience it. One of the lawyers is the son of Senator Blumenthal, right. And so, of course, this is all because of that.
Yeah, no, that makes... perfect sense. Mm-hmm. And it is a convincing thing that Alex is saying right now.
I find myself persuaded.
I mean, it's obvious.
So this is, $200 million is what he's saying he thinks.
Sure.
He does say that he had an all-hands meeting like a couple days before, and he predicted $1 billion. So I don't know if there was something about the judge's body language that talked him down from that billion prediction to $200 million.
Right.
But as the $900 million plus verdict comes along, he's like, I always knew it was going to be $1 billion.
Yeah, well, it's nice to be an asshole for once and then all of a sudden be like, see, I was right.
It's also nice to just play fast and loose with predictions.
If the only hashtag for Alex Jones was right was him predicting he would lose $1 billion, I would agree. I'd be like, hashtag Alex Jones was right.
To be fair, I'm not sure there's any public version of him predicting that outside
fair.
Of after.
That's fair.
So Alex has some feelings about what's going on in this courtroom, and they're pretty troubling.
Would you please pass the verdict to me?
Then you can be seated.
This is them absolving themselves, all the war crimes, everything.
Sorry, when?
Media's good, I'm bad.
So this is a weird comment, because in a way, what he's suggesting is that he's some kind of an unwilling Christ figure for the media. By sacrificing him, they're purging their own sin and casting it onto Alex. But Alex hates the media, and he doesn't want their sin. So this is just bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean... Wait, so Alex has hated the mainstream media for forever for doing things that he insists that he never does.
Right.
However, the mainstream media has apparently chosen him as the avatar for all the bad things they do that he does.
Right.
Right. So he's admitting that he does those things.
I don't know. No, not. I don't think so. He is without sin. That's why he must be the vessel for their sin.
Nah, they don't tell that about the real Christ story. He's kind of an asshole.
Well, he killed a kid.
I mean, not that just one that. Book. Well, I mean, he fought dragons. He killed a kid. He brought the kid back to life, though.
Whatever the case, Alex does sincerely look at this as like, I am Christ-like.
Sure.
On the verge of nuclear war, this is happening. I question the mass shooting. I question Jussie Smollett. WMDs in Iraq. I'm a thought criminal. Judge found me guilty, told the jury how guilty I was. She's pausing to give the media time to all dial in to their full effect, try to give credibility to the corporate system again, which they'll never bring back. It's a dinosaur trying to be resurrected. Come on, crucify me. Let's get it going.
I really feel like he's getting impatient with the process and just being like, well, I'm doing a show And yeah. I'm tuning in for the verdict so I can do like some sort of a pageant about it.
Sure.
And there's lulls here, and I have to fill that time.
Right.
Because I'm doing a show.
Right.
And that's kind of a tension.
No. So what you should do in the trial where the point is you made a bunch of money off of hurting these people is try and make a lot of money off of hurting them.
Mm-hmm.
When they, oh no, that's bad.
Well, that's pretty much what's going to be happening. I mean, here's a plug in the middle of waiting for the numbers.
Oh my God.
People are pathetic. Their rule over this country is over. So proud of our work. So proud of your support. Get 2 years of appeals now. They won't shut us down. You support us. Infowarsstore.com, saveinfowars.com, donate now. Fight these monsters.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's downtime. The court, they're shuffling papers around. The bailiff's coming up to get the papers and what have you. Why not throw in a little saveinfowars.com, baby?
Man, if he was in the courtroom while the bailiff was shuffling papers around, he'd be like, I got to go outside so I can say that people need to donate money before the verdict is read.
Also buy food.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
there's a weird thing where he's saying like the judge is pausing in order to get the media to tune in for maximum impact.
Right.
He knows that more people are tuning in to him to see his reaction to the, the verdict.
Totally.
He's doing these like plugs in the lull between things. He's playing the same game he's accusing the court of doing.
I will give the judge perhaps some of the most credit that a reactionary person as myself can give, which is that she read pages upon pages, like 15 pages. I don't know how many pages.
She read them
so quietly.
Didn't laugh.
Didn't say a word. Didn't show an emotion. She was reading out $1 billion and was like, $1 billion.
You know,
interesting.
You know what the you have to do to pass the secondary bar that gets you to be a judge?
Just faceless.
Yeah. What you have to do is you have to wear one of those clear helmets with a scorpion in it.
Oh, that's a good
idea.
You have to make no reaction whatsoever.
Exactly.
That's smart. Smart.
You have to be able to keep a real stiff upper lip.
I swear, I don't know if I could read that first page. She read the first page. As an adult, a human adult, and it said $120 million.
Well,
and she did not immediately go, ha-ha!
You have a job and a position and an office and all that, but you are a human.
Yeah.
And it seems tough. Maybe you don't laugh.
A miracle.
But to go, whew.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Something like, whoa, Nelly.
Or make some facial like. Ugh.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. She was dead. It was amazing.
It's a pro.
Yeah.
So anyway, Alex is he's saying he has this 2 years of appeals. Mm-hmm. And that may be fairly close to accurate in terms of how the projection of how the process could work out.
Sure.
But he also is losing faith that they're going to read the verdict.
Oh, yeah?
He's getting so annoyed with the pauses.
SaveInfoWars.com, InfoWarsStore.com. That's how you resist getting great products at the same time. We will going to appeal this. We're in such tyranny, they'll probably say no on the appeal, but 2 years left, whatever. We're on the edge of nuclear war, it doesn't even matter. It shows how tone deaf these people are. But I wanted to air a report. I said I would get to it. I didn't. Weather weaponization of Hurricane Ian.
Of course.
They want to 5G control your body. They want a poison injection control your body. They want to be able to control the weather. And they admit they're doing it all, but they say it's a conspiracy theory and we talk about it.
All right, so we can bring
Oh, wait,
out.
They're coming back.
Oh, no. Gotta push back that weather weapon thing.
Here's the problem. If weather weapons are real.
Right.
Honestly, losing $1 billion doesn't seem that important to me. I'd be like, they have weather weapons. All bets are off.
If Alex's shit was real at all, there's so many more important things to do than
a million. Who cares?
Naval gaze over your trial. Yeah,
absolutely.
But you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, why are you mad about millions of dollars when 90% of the population is going to be dead soon?
Nuclear war, millions of people being killed by the COVID vaccine, weather weapons.
The whole thing.
Boy, it's severe. But harsh. Also, look at this court.
He's not having a good time.
So, but no, he is. He's having a great time. He's very positive.
That's not good.
Now just bear with me, all right?
Corrupt, guilty system. wanting to scapegoat me as the bad guy when they're the bad guys. No one believes them. Everybody hates them that has half a brain. Their system's over. They know it. They're in full panic mode. This is exactly what I expected.
It's very, there's a pump-up-ness to it. There's a positive, like, yeah, all right, they're the bad guys.
I knew I was walking into the lion's den. I'm not surprised there are lions there.
Yeah.
And, I got it.
And, you know, we talk about this a bit, this dynamic of Alex interpreting consequences and negative feedback as virtue, as symbols of virtue.
Right.
And so for this, it's like, it's basically a revealing of how virtuous he is.
Yeah, yeah.
In understood in InfoWars world, this is like, how over the target am I? $1 billion over the target.
I have 965 million good person units that I was awarded in this trial.
Now,
I know it says they get money, but I got good person units in...
Now, that's not real. And
well,
Alex
there's
doesn't
the problem.
Actually believe that deep down.
No.
But that is the public presentation of it. So when we get to the first count read for the first plaintiff, which is Robbie Parker, he ends up with a $120 million judgment. And here's Alex.
To plaintiff Robbie Parker, A, defamation / slander damages past and future, $60 million.
Yeah.
B, emotional distress damages past and future, $60 million. Ooh, ooh. Total fair, just, and reasonable damages to plaintiff Robert Parker and against Alex Jones and Free Speech Systems at line A and line B, total $120 million.
Yeah!
By jury.
Woo!
Here's what I'll say.
Yeah.
If they sued me and got a judgment of $120 million, you know, I'm going to laugh and shout because fucking... go for it, man. You can have all of my money and $100 million. We got, look, fine. You know, what you're suing me for is what I've got. Alex actually has $120 million. So that first judgment must have been like, fuck!
Well, I mean, like, if I'm sued for, even if I have $120 million per se, if I'm sued for it and the judgment is being read, and I also have other cases that are still pending.
That's not good.
I'm probably not going to laugh at that judgment.
Right.
That looks a little bad in terms of, like, you know, we want to play this for other courts.
True.
We hit him with a $1 billion judgment.
And he went, yay! You're right.
It probably leads one to believe that these penalties cannot be high enough in terms of getting him to change any of his behaviors.
Right, right. So he's kind of experiencing a moment like how I loved the nuclear bomb. Like it was that kind of like he's Slim Pickens on the nuclear bomb just riding. But Slim Pickens dies immediately after that. He doesn't have to then go to court.
Well, that's why it's art.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a child who gets sent to timeout and you have to go sit in the bathroom and then they break things in the bathroom.
Well,
timeout's not going to work. We have to escalate this somehow.
The sun is available and we have rockets.
So, yeah, I mean, basically all he can do is cheer.
Francine Wheeler. A, defamation / slander damages past the future, $24 million.
Yeah.
B, emotional distress damages past and future, $30 million.
Yeah!
Fair, just, and reasonable damages to plaintiff Francine Wheeler and against Alex Jones and Free Speech Systems at line A and line B, total $54 million.
Yeah!
By juror number one.
Woo!
There's nothing really more insightful than that.
Just yeah.
Woo! At numbers. Yeah. I mean, it's just, I think he's just trying to put a brave face forward and, again, play into that, like, this means I'm so right.
Right.
They're that afraid of me.
Right.
And I don't know. I find it a little bit boring, honestly,
as
a response.
I mean, I can't imagine my response because that's an absurd, like, I mean,
there's so many steps you would have to go through to get to the point where you would be experiencing this response.
Well,
that might change you along the way.
Definitely.
And prepare you to be a shithead in that moment.
For sure. I think I wouldn't be surprised, really, if hearing those words didn't come off as unreal to him. Like, it was a fully surreal moment for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first moment they said $60 million, I lost my shit.
Right.
You know, like, I was like, I can't believe that this...
It's pretty surprising.
It was. And I imagine for Alex, it has to have been like, well, this is clearly pretend and I'm dreaming, mm-hmm. you know, because he's very little attached to reality in the first place.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I don't know. Is there any movie about this that Alex can pretend was predictive programming for him?
I'll tell you this. Not fucking yet.
No.
There will be.
Fingers crossed one day you get to make that movie, Jordan, and the casting will be weird.
It is going to be weird.
So, yeah, I mean, there's just a bunch of celebration, and, like, it just feels like a game to him, honestly.
Yeah.
Get those numbers up.
Two plaintiffs, Ian Hockley.
And they're not done. They're going to keep suing everybody. This is like...
damages, past and future, $38 million.
Good.
B, emotional distress damages, past and future, $43,600,000.
Good.
Total.
If we don't have a billion, I'm not happy. I want to be the $1 billion man.
And against Alex Jones and Free Speech.
So close.
At line A and line B, $81,600,000. Initial by juror number one.
Good.
Yeah, good. So, yeah, he keeps saying, like, bump it up.
Yeah.
You know, at a certain point, it's like, well, If you're gonna have all this above, you might as well, like, make it comical.
Yeah, it does feel like this is your team in the Super Bowl, right? And you're down 21-3, and the other team is at the 10-yard line, and you're just like, "Yeah, man, run up the score! I want to lose by 100. That sounds fucking great, man. I didn't like this football game anyway.
I want to set records.
Totally. Yeah. If we're going to lose, we should lose by the most there's ever been.
Right, right. Yeah. Losing by 100 in the Super Bowl just proves how right
exactly.
you were about
it's
football.
It means that I was better at football than anybody.
So, and he, you know, along the way, there's not a whole lot of content, but he does take a couple avenues to introduce some, like, I don't know, anti-trans commentary.
Great.
$18,600,000.
So this is what a show trial looks like. I mean, this is the left completely out of control, doing whatever they want, like drag queen story time, two men can have a baby. I mean, this is what they do. This is their panacea.
At line A and line B. $57,600,000.
$57 million. $20 million. $50 million. $80 million. $100 million. Blah blah. You get a million. You get $100 million. You get $50 million.
Nice Oprah there.
Yeah.
Nice reference to Oprah.
Yeah. Yeah. That
His
was
dear
there.
Friend Oprah Winfrey.
Uh huh. Yeah. He enjoyed her show.
Look. I mean, there's not a lot going on here outside of this.
Yeah, I imagine.
I'll be totally clear. I mean, if you want, you can watch the video and see his facial expressions and what have you. But
right.
like, it's just a bunch of yeah.
Yeah.
Bump it up.
It'd
make
be
it
better.
Higher.
Oh man, what if he had played My Way slowly, like a little bit underneath
it
the
been
verdict?
So much more fitting.
Oh, that would have been great.
That whole pageant from the other day would have been perfect here.
Immediately, like interspersed with the verdict being read, like $60 million. You know, like
regrets,
that's what it should have been.
I have a few.
Yeah, absolutely.
It would have had like thematic artistic purpose there.
It would have been a show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas this is just kind of boring. And I think Alex even gets bored of listening to these numbers.
Yeah.
Plaintiff Erica Lafferty.
Okay, so this is going to take hours and hours here about the billions and billions and billions I owe. Let's put up Drudge Report right now for people.
Oh, my God.
$1 billion owed by Alex Jones. I personally don't have $2 million. The company's almost completely out of money. We're in bankruptcy. There's two appeals. It'll take years. There's caps on almost all of this. This is just completely, absolutely made up. And now the Democratic Party run, CNN bought it years ago. Literally, I was told that. Drudge Report is just up there celebrating this. They want to scare everybody away from freedom and scare us away from questioning Uvalde and what really happened there or Parkland or any other event. And guess what? We're not scared and we're not going away and we're not going to stop. And literally for hundreds of thousands of dollars, I can keep them in court for years. I can appeal this stuff. We can stand up against this travesty, against the billions of dollars they want. It's a joke. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com.
Yeah, he's decided that the Drudge Report is bad now again.
Sure, sure.
So that's fun.
Anyone who reports that he was not the hero who received an unfair kangaroo court $1 billion judgment is now evil.
These shifting alliances are hard to keep track of.
Yeah, when the devil's involved.
So, Alex, I mean, this is in the fourth hour. It takes a while for these verdicts to be read, and so Alex runs out of time, and the war room starts. And I thought Alex would be riding shotgun with the
war
room.
Absolutely. Just stay in the chair.
Nah.
Nope.
Owen takes over.
Boo.
And I will say Owen tries to put on a brave face.
Let's hear it.
All you liberals, all you Democrats, all you globalists, all you evil freaks, all you pedophiles, all tuning into InfoWars today, hoping that you're going to be celebrating and basking in our depression, our oppression, and the attacks against us. No. We've never felt better, actually. You've given us the biggest victory of all time. You've confirmed that everything we've been fighting for is real, or you've confirmed everything we're fighting against is real. You've only solidified our dedication to the truth.
This seems convincing.
Oh, man. Man, if everybody was celebrating my downfall, the last thing I would do was get up on a public place and be like, I'm not downfalling. No. I'd
actually,
be like,
I'm not mad.
I'd be like, I'm going to go away.
This is a $1 billion judgment against the company that is the only people who would ever employ me in any media capacity. I mean, that is not a problem for me at all.
I think I would have my resume on the screen and I'd be deleting the years I worked for InfoWars.
I would
off
also
of it.
Be showcasing skills on air. I'd be juggling. Yeah. I'd be spinning plates. I'd be just doing whatever I could to be like, someone fucking hire me.
Frankly, with Owen, just demonstrate basic Excel skills. That'll go a longer way than anything else he does right now.
So one of the things he does, not juggling, not Excel, not plate spinning, he interviews Norm Pattis. Norm comes on to do a post-mortem.
What in God's name? How does that man live on the day-to-day? When he wakes up and looks at his dumb ponytail in the mirror every morning, what does he think?
You know, you ever seen that Faithfully video by Journey?
No.
So the music video, the road is no place to start a family.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
There's a shot in it that always sticks out in my mind, and that's Steve Perry has a mustache. And there's a shot of him very soulfully shaving his mustache, looking in the mirror. And there's just, after a beating like Norm had in court, I just picture him like looking in a mirror and just soulfully cutting off the ponytail.
Right? Shouldn't he have to?
It's like, isn't there? I need a rebrand, man.
I just feel like there's some sort of warrior code where if you lose that battle, like, I'm not saying that there's any kind of, it's just, you know, you cut your ponytail off if you lose that bad.
I will say to Norm's credit, one of the few times I'll say that.
Yeah.
Owen is trying to do this like, we're actually as happy as we've ever been. Norm is at least has the perspective of like, that was a beating.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Yeah, good. Good.
There's a lot of things we can do, but that was bad.
That was about as bad as it could go.
Yeah. And so Norm, actually, his message that he brings to Owen
it's
is
so bad that Ilion starts with a B.
and it might end with an S.
Yeah.
Now, Norm Pattis, representing Alex Jones in this case. He was in the courtroom there. He has joined us on the phone now, so we're going to get his first response to this. $1 billion, Norm. It's time to start cutting the checks.
Yeah, well, let me, you know, either that or printing more Monopoly money. It was pretty astounding. And what's more, that's just the beginning. There'll be an attorney's fee application, which could increase this by about 40% to the $1.4 billion. And then Judge Bellis will also have the ability to make a separate finding on punitive damages. So by the time this is done, it could easily be $2.5 billion.
It's like, oh, and you think this is bad? Let me double it for you.
Man, I could not be happier with Norm's wet blanket on Owen's bullshit brave face.
Well, I also think that this is probably a smart thing to do, because then if you end up with $1 billion, it's like,
hey,
well, it could have been two and a half.
Yeah, it could have been 2.5. Yeah, come on. I do appreciate that Norm really, really feels like in the moment that this is a problem that is worth $2.5 billion. He really feels it. Yeah. He knows.
So it sends a chilling message, though. It's the thing. It's
to Alex?
No, to other people who want to have free speech. Now, Alex has been just crowing constantly about how, like, this, he's going to appeal, you know, we're going to fight this forever. Norm is his lawyer, and Norm, in this clip, says he doesn't know if Alex is going to appeal.
Good call.
that it's a huge verdict, and it sends a chilling message. I think the message that it sends is, you know, if you are outside the mainstream media, if you're challenging the orthodoxy and the orthodoxy determines what you've said isn't true, there's now a body of law, if this stands on appeal, by the way, and we will, I hope Alex takes the appeal, you know, that would say you're responsible for what anybody says if you've uttered an untruth.
That's not the message at all. And if Alex takes the appeal, Alex is fundraising for the appeal incessantly already. So that doesn't feel right.
No.
He should be saying we're already at work on the appeal.
I mean, he should be saying that Alex is fundraising to avoid having to deal with. I mean, here's the problem with an appeal, okay, is at an appeal, unlike at this current trial, they can't bring in the evidence that, you know, there was already a $50 million judgment against Alex.
Mm-hmm.
At no point in time in the trial could they be like, hey, jury, just so you know, we've run this game before and Alex lost, you know? So in an appeals court, you could be like, hey, guess what? Four separate juries awarded billions of dollars.
Well, but the question becomes, like, is there a procedural problem with this case?
Sure.
And that would be what you would be appealing on. And if Norm, as the lawyer, like, he would know what the grounds for the appeal are.
Sure.
And he would probably be involved in it as right. Alex's lawyer.
Well, he would be the reason that it's a mistrial.
Now, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, this one's on me.
This one's my deal. Oh, did I get the worst judgment in history? Nah, man, I got the biggest mistrial in history.
But yeah, this feeling, though, this sentiment that consequences are a sign of virtue,
right,
is just like a
everywhere.
Constant through line.
Everywhere.
Owen is very deeply entrenched in that.
Oh, God.
I think that this just confirms it. I mean, most people would say that America is corrupt. Most people would say that this country has a corruption problem politically. And so then you would make the statement, you'd say, well, how do you know who's fighting the corruption? Well, who gets attacked by the establishment the most? Who gets attacked by the deep state the most? Who do they go after the most? And once again, the name is Alex
Leftists.
Jones. The institution, the news organization is InfoWars. Now, I don't know if you can get into the future as far as, you know, appealing this or whatever, because I know the audience is going to want to know, you know, what the future might hold as far as appeals are concerned. But, I'd get your response to it like this. Let's try to put it into a real-world situation for the future. Let's say that back in December of 2020, you go on air and you question the efficacy of the COVID vaccine. Well, oh, now you're getting sued by the companies that made the COVID vaccine. But here we are a year later, and now they're admitting the COVID vaccines are not safe or effective. Folks, that's what they're trying to silence, is somebody saying what they believe to be true, which might ultimately be the truth. They don't want it out there, Norm.
So no one's getting sued for that.
Right.
And like, here's a short list of claims that might be actionable against Alex for family members of people who lost people to COVID, who didn't do anything because Alex said it was safe. Remember when he said it was like it was a race-specific bioweapon?
I mean,
that
I
seems
feel
like something that might be weird. Or when he said it was only killing males, that was a little thing.
I feel like what Owen just
or
described.
Or when he had David Icke on and David Icke said viruses aren't even real.
That's true. Hmm. You only accept them into your body.
But David Icke hasn't even been sued for these things.
No, I feel like what Elwin just said is we're grateful that the vaccine itself does not have grounds to sue or a consciousness. Because if it did, it would.
Well, no, I think a virus would owe Alex.
That's a good point. The virus owes Alex a lot.
I think that Owen's example that he's using there is shit, and that's because Alex would never have been sued if all he was doing was questioning a shooting. You have to come up with these fake arguments because the underlying points that he's trying to make just aren't true.
I mean, his entire show is evidence for why this is different. Like, he does all the stuff that he says. He's like, oh, I question this. And no one has a problem. It's this that he's getting sued for.
Mm-hmm.
How is that not consistently pointed out to them?
It seems relevant.
It does.
Also, this brute is not very good. Are you sure this isn't like a giant champagne-filled, champagne bottle-shaped thing of cologne?
Oh, man.
Isn't
you are
brute a kind of cologne?
I'm going to tell you this right now. The Willamette Valley is not going to be happy with your reviews.
Nothing but respect for Willamette Valley.
Hey, as much as I love Oregon, I'm going to tell you something, Willamette.
So Norm, like I said, I think some of his perspective is maybe a little bit more forgivable, or at least more palatable than some of the other folks. And this one, I think, is right in there. And that is Norm being like, if I hadn't shown up, it wouldn't have been like it. Maybe he'd be better off.
I think that's what they used to do to dissidents in Stalin's Russia. The Sandy Hook parents were lovely people. They made good witnesses. There were things to argue about in this case, but the court didn't want to hear argument about it. I had to move mountains to win the right to make the limited little arguments I was permitted to make in that courtroom. But the bottom line is, if I'd stayed home, Alex wouldn't have been much worse off. The court just didn't want to hear from me and didn't want to let the jury hear from me.
It's debatable. Like, he might have been better off if Norm hadn't shown up, or other lawyer who didn't say, hey, maybe these people are exaggerating their grief.
Yeah.
Maybe a different lawyer maybe would have done better. I think Norm's exclusion from this case might have been advantageous to Alex.
I will die believing that if they had not presented any defense, if they had just been like, listen, we do not have any defense for our actions, the judgment would not be $1 billion.
I would say so.
Yeah.
I think that they made things worse for themselves.
Absolutely.
If there was just sort of like a opening statement and closing statement about like the philosophical idea
of, this is what
we
tried,
like,
this is what happened, maybe we went too far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And then they were just like, no questioning, no. Yeah.
I think they would definitely come out looking better than the way things
absolutely
went.
Absolutely. Well, what is your apology if your apology isn't in the opening statement and the closing statement?
Well, and it doesn't work to your advantage to have Alex yell about how this is a struggle session.
Real problem. It's a real problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, Norm, he's pretty chill about this.
Sure.
I'm sure you now,
he doesn't
know
a billion.
Of Alex Jones, are getting attacks from probably sides that you never expected to be attacked from.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm just getting phone calls and text messages, maligning my lawyering and suggesting that, that I either threw the case or that I'm incompetent and that I'm scum, this, that, and everything else.
Believe all three.
Obviously, it hurts. I don't like it. But I'm not going to pay a whole lot of rent for the space I occupy in other people's heads. That's their problem, not mine. Haters are going to hate.
Haters are going to hate.
Haters are going to hate. Haters are going to hate. That is the voice of a man who is going to get paid despite having lost $1 billion.
Hey, I lost a $1 billion case. It is what it is.
Hey, buddy, guess what? Hours are still billable.
The haters going to hate.
Haters going to hate. Hey, listen, Alex, sorry about that.
Players going to play.
You just got to do. Listen.
Shake it off. Shake it off. Alex.
You know what the most important lesson for a lot of people is?
What's that?
When to take the L.
Mm-hmm.
And Norm knows this is an L. It's time to take it.
Maybe you pretend that you could have won or something.
Nope.
But don't fight it too hard.
No.
Just.
If I had my druthers, we could have won.
If I could have said anything in court.
Right.
Then maybe. But as it is, haters gonna hate.
Turns out that lying is not okay in court. Haters gonna hate.
So Norm believes that there's a question that no one asks about InfoWars. This is the essential question.
Okay.
And the question that nobody asks, and that for which there must be an answer, is, what makes Alex and InfoWars and you so popular? You don't hook people on some sort of drug that is foreign to their body. You talk about things that are obvious to them and that no one else talks about. And until people begin to understand what makes a show like InfoWars or Alex Jones or Owen Schroyer popular, they're asking the wrong questions.
I agree with Norm that this is a factor that's underappreciated in terms of understanding InfoWars and misinformation in general, but his conclusion is childish. No one actually gravitates to InfoWars or Alex because of his handle on information or the idea that he talks about stories no one else has the nerve to cover. And I would say that there is a drug that he hooks his listeners on, even ignoring the dumb placebo-ass supplements that he sells at huge markups, and he sells to people by pretending that they have a deficiency that he can solve.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have iodine in you, so you need it.
Yeah.
Alex creates emotional hooks that get into people and that operate very similarly to how a drug might. the truth or falsity of things Alex says don't matter to the audience because he's eliciting a feeling that they believe is true. Some story about an immigrant murdering a white woman that Alex yells about may not actually be true, but the audience doesn't care because to them, the feeling he's promoting with that story, that you should be afraid of immigrants and that they want to kill white women, is true. That's the majority of what Alex has gotten his skill set, evoking feelings. And it's pretty easy to see why his show is successful while Owen and Harrison are just pathetic also-rans. They can't stir emotions like Alex can. Owen's just doing a bad Alex impression most of the time and doesn't come off as sincere at all, and Harrison's just too clearly a whiny baby dweeb. They can get a little bit of traction, but they can't come anywhere near to even being like Alex's second, because they can't do this. That's why PJW sucks on Alex's show, but he's really successful on YouTube. In that format, with the quick cuts and the weird close-ups on his face looking very emotional, Paul is able to make the audience feel things. Even David Knight had a bit of this, which is why part of why it was so dumb for Alex to fire him. To you or I, David Knight was a painfully boring snooze, but his rhetorical style was good at reaching the older demographics who really don't care for Alex's theatricality and yelling. He could elicit feelings in the older crowd.
It was supplementary for the people that Alex can't hit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, no one goes to InfoWars because they want information or hard-hitting reporting. That's the lie they tell themselves so they don't have to admit that they're going to Alex for a hit of emotions that they crave for some reason or another, usually to justify unjustifiable positions that they have, like racism or homophobia.
Right.
They're able to intellectualize those feelings by Alex appealing to those feelings.
No, and we all instinctively know this, not least of like, if you want to get into brain chemistry, the feeling you get from being right over and over again during a broadcast, you know, like Alex so often consistently massaging your ego, you know, how different from that is getting high for 3 hours, you know?
And Alex yelling about how you've saved the world.
Totally.
And
totally.
You are saving the world by giving him money.
Yeah, absolutely. Jerk my ego off or I get high. Like, it's very similar kind of things, you know?
Yeah, not too dissimilar.
Yeah.
So Owen wants to sue people now, too, because, like...
Well, it's fun to do. Wow, it's popular.
People just got $1 billion.
It's time to sue.
Yeah, so people call him a racist, and so he wants to sue...
Why, because he's a racist?
Well, Norm has an interesting response here.
Let's hear it.
You know, it's funny hearing you say all that. You know, I'm banned from pretty much all big tech platforms. Can't take an Uber, can't take an Airbnb. People call me a racist all the time, insurrectionist. All these lies about me. I wonder, when am I going to be able to sue for $1 billion, Norm?
Well, you can try. You just got to find a jury that's willing to get it. Give it to you, you know?
Yeah, you can try. That's probably not the response that you want to hear from the lawyer. Like, go for it.
I mean,
you can't because you never win that case. You know what? You can try.
In private, that's the response that you want to hear from a lawyer. On your show, you want to hear, hell yeah, we can all sue tomorrow. Well, it's going to sue.
Norm just took that big L. So
yeah,
he's
it's tough to do
that,
a show.
He's
in that
place. This is like an hour later.
Man. If I had just walked off a stage after bombing for an hour, I would be very difficult to talk to coherently.
What if you just ate shit for like a half hour set and you came off stage to a bill of $1 billion from the bar?
Oh.
You drank the wrong bottle.
That is not far enough, relatively speaking, from a lot of my life. In my world at the time, my bar bill was about $1 billion.
So, look, the interview is not very interesting past this. Not a lot of insight you're getting. You know, sort of a lot of the same, like, we're going to appeal, it'll take 2 years.
Right.
Blah, 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 give Alex money.
The law.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, the war room.
Nothing.
The rest of it's just Owen being Owen, and
garbage.
I don't care.
Garbage.
So later in the evening, Alex comes back, and he does his evening emergency broadcast.
Oh, my God.
And by this point, he's got himself a clip of Chris Matty on the steps of the courthouse afterwards with the families behind him giving a press conference.
Yeah.
Alex plays that. This is sort of his thesis. He plays this a lot.
Okay.
This clip he plays a bunch.
So they got our financials, and then they defaulted us. They know we don't have any money. So he gets up and he says, don't give him money so we can't appeal so they can shut us down. That's their mission. Obviously, Democrat Party, ambulance chaser, King Daddy says, don't give us money. What do you do? It's totally disgusting. Let's play it one more time and go to Steve Quayle of SteveQuayle.com. Listen to your enemy saying, do not support us. Listen to this.
But we will be at it as long as it takes. And if you're out there right now and you're one of Alex Jones's audience members and you're considering giving him money, I just want you to know that based on the jury's verdict today, it's not a very good bet. And to go back with to what Robbie Parker said, all Alex Jones does is take from you, exploit you, lie to you, feed your fears and your anxieties and your mistrust. And the only person that benefits in that equation is him. Well, that stops. That's stopping today, thanks to the courage of these families. Thank you very much.
Thanks to your rig court and all the rest of it. No, nothing stops.
So two things stick out to me here. The first is that this notion that Maddie would have a plan to discourage Alex's listeners from donating so Alex wouldn't have enough money to appeal the case is super dishonest.
Yeah.
If this case was as much of a railroading as Alex insists it is, he should have no problem finding someone to defend him pro bono. For instance, how about his good buddy who clearly feels this case is a threat to the future of the world, media star Bobby Barnes?
Hey, Bobby Barnes.
Or if any of this were true, that this case like impinged on fundamental constitutional rights, the ACLU would be all over defending
they
Alex on principle.
They have defended so many goddamn Nazis over the years. Alex is not worse than them.
If
yet.
This was a principle matter, the ACLU couldn't stop them from
My God, we can't wait to show off how ACLU we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The second thing is that tone at the end there where Alex is saying this isn't going to stop is probably unwise. There's still the Posner case to go, you may remember, and if Alex lets himself fly a little too freely, it feels like that could haunt him, particularly because that case is the one where he is super guilty, and the damages could end up being way higher than the Lewis Heslin one. Alex is trapped in a space between being essentially impotent to change reality and needing to appear defiant to the audience or risk the cash drying up. If what Norm says means anything, sure, you know, it could be a while before this appeal is decided and Alex ends up losing that, and likely ends up being sanctioned a ton for abuse of the appeals process along the way.
Yeah.
But if the audience loses heart, that's a bigger danger. I went over to Save InfoWars, the fundraiser they had, to see where things stood. And he was about $200,000 on the afternoon of the 13th, the day after the verdict came in. So this is the evening of the 12th.
Okay.
And so he was about $200,000. That seems to be about where, you know, he can muster. Alex went all out on his show. Owen did what he could on the War Room. And then here we have Alex doing an emergency broadcast that retroactively became part of a marathon that became that started at 8 a.m. that day and then went till midnight. Owen spent like 3 hours taking calls after Alex left in the first episode of Alex's long-awaited all-callers show, which actually still isn't a thing. It was just filling time.
Sure.
They pulled out all the stops. And also, this is the tally after Alex's show on the 13th, and this is where they got to. It's a respectable number for sure, but it's not going to do shit for him in terms of staving off bankruptcy or paying lawyers enough to fight this two-year appeal process. It seems like the free market is saying that the demand for Alex's show just doesn't justify its existence anymore. And, I don't know, like I said, this is never going to stop thing is making the plaintiff's lawyer's case for them.
Right. Okay, so if 1 million is 0.1% of a billion, right? Am I right in saying that?
It's 1,000 millions.
Right, so yeah. One is 0.1%.
Yeah.
So that would be 0.02% of the total amount needed.
Well, to pay that off, yeah. But the notion is I need enough money to pay the lawyers and make the business appear profitable to the bankruptcy court, and then it'll be smooth sailing.
Right.
So maybe $200,000 appears to be close to enough of supplemental money.
Right.
But it seems like... not enough.
If he gets a billion in Bitcoin, it will really narrow down the number of people who could be...
That's true.
You know, like
the
8
suspect
million,
list is a lot shorter.
8 million is... That's a fairly wide range in America now.
But I think logistics put aside, the fact that they could do this, like really go all out, have a $1 billion judgment against the company,
yeah,
and that's what they can muster out of the audience, is not good.
No.
I mean, like, we... just sort of I'm sending buttons to people for free.
Right.
And if people want to donate to charity,
right,
they can.
Yeah.
And we've raised, like, what, $35,000 plus?
Nothing to fucking shake a stick at.
Right.
It's not 200 grand, though.
But, but we also don't have a $1 billion judgment against us, and we're not begging people to donate to
it. You know, that's a big part of our overhead, keeping it low.
$35,000 for charity feels like $200,000 in Alex's like his circumstances.
Yes.
So I just think it's a bad omen of what he can muster out of the audience.
Yeah.
They should be over $1 million.
Yeah.
I would think based on, well, actually the fundraiser, the goal is 500,000.
Right.
So,
and they haven't reached the goal.
They should have hit it
they
during the marathon.
The goal. Yeah, absolutely.
If anything about Alex, his reach, his audience, his commitment, any of that, yeah, were like meaningful.
Yeah.
I find that to be a real L for Alex.
Right. If we actually had 10% of the world listening to Knowledge Fight, we would be able to drive more than $200,000. I'm just going to say that.
I would hope.
Yeah.
Or it shows a real lack of engagement and commitment.
Yeah.
Anyway, Alex has had tons of people offer him jobs.
Sure.
But he doesn't give a shit.
Oh. They should take one of them. Like landscaper?
No, because
I think he'd be a good landscaper.
No, he's talking about media jobs.
Oh.
He was not going to take those because he would be fired from them immediately.
Yeah, well, that's true.
But he reached out, tried to find somebody big to have on for his marathon. And of course, he's got Steve Quayle, the guy who believes in biblical giants.
Right.
We've got dozens of organizations ready to put us on air anywhere. You're not shutting crap down. We're intensifying. I'm going to launch a whole new show in defiance of you. Steve Quayle, one of the icons of the Liberty Movement. We're totally vindicated. World government out in the open. Poison shots. Nuclear war. All of it's here.
Everybody's been vindicated. And, of course, that means, I don't know if you saw down, where was this? I think this was over by Navy Pier.
Uh-huh.
There were a bunch of giants.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The last time. So here's the problem. Like, I've lived in Uptown for 5 years. When I moved into Uptown, unfortunately, it appears that I was gentrification, mm-hmm, but I wasn't anywhere near as bad as the giants who've moved in the past year.
I mean, they're nice
those
enough giants, but they take up a lot of room.
Oh, my God. So many tall buildings now to give them a place to live.
It ruins the lakefront views.
Skyline. Used to have a skyline.
So, look, they just talk a bunch of bullshit about how World War III is here.
Sure. Well, naturally.
And, it is. And World War III is here.
Man.
And it's because, according to them, the international bankers and globalists were afraid because Putin went to the gold standard.
Sure.
Meanwhile, Putin, he just wanted people to respect his borders. That was his whole thing. And then, he went to the gold standard, and everybody else, so mad.
Is he on the gold standard? I feel like he's on the oil standard.
Well, see, that's a problem.
That is an
Russia
issue.
Didn't go to the gold standard.
Well, that's a problem.
They just announced that they would buy gold from domestic institutions for a stable fixed price from March 28th to June 30th, 2022. They didn't anchor the ruble's value to gold, which is what Steve is saying that they did in order to justify this conspiracy that the globalists want to start World War III over.
Right.
Russia made this move because they have a giant domestic gold supply. The Kratsvetmet plant in Siberia is one of the biggest in the world, and after they invaded Ukraine, these domestic gold producers were barred from selling to international markets. That would be really bad for a lot of folks with a lot of money and valuable commodities. So Putin announced that the Russian government and the central bank would buy their gold at a set price to offset the setbacks that were caused by invading Ukraine.
Right. The way the United States does for, like, cheese and shit. Yeah.
This was set to start on March 28th, and the price was set at 5,000 rubles per ounce. However, that announcement made the price of the ruble jump about 20%. And on April 7th, Russia decided to go back on their announcement and begin buying gold, quote, at a negotiated price.
Very Russia of them.
The rubles had gained in value, so they were getting screwed on the set gold price, so they decided to end it months before the program was set to run. So just to clarify, Steve is saying that the globalists want to start World War III over the fact that Russia put their currency on a gold standard, but in reality, the ruble isn't on a gold standard, and the short-term buying of gold at a set price was just done to offset some of the market inconveniences that came after invading Ukraine. You could say that Steve is on here just spouting complete bullshit in order to spread pro-Russia messages and talking points, but...
And this is not pro-Russia. This is pro-truth.
I stand corrected.
Right. I gotcha.
So that's a large portion of what they end up talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm not super interested in it. And yeah. there's a decent chance I would skip past some of it.
Yeah.
But some weird stuff ends up happening.
All right.
That actually I kind of enjoy.
I'm interested.
So Alex, one of his big... the ways that this is profitable is there is a very severe thing that's happening, but there's a chance we can stop it.
Sure.
Right?
That's the game.
There needs to be that window that maybe we can get out of. It's going to be expensive.
Tragedy we cannot stop. However,
if you donate to us,
we can stop it.
There's a chance.
Exactly.
So he asks Steve if this World War III can be stopped.
Can it?
They'll do anything to silence the truth, silence the truth tellers, even to provoking World War III. And this is the big issue tonight, Alex, as we're on together. It's not something they don't want. It's not something they fear. They want it with all of their globalist Luciferian might. Because at the end of the day, everything that you've talked about in all your videos, population, depopulation quotes, plans, how they're going to do it, we've watched millions, probably more, like at least I'd say 50 million people dead worldwide on COVID. And why would you believe the people that have never
50 million?
I agree. So can we stop it, or is it biblical? Is it unstoppable?
No, it cannot be stopped. It cannot be stopped. It cannot be stopped. These are the days that obviously the four horsemen, the apocalypse, the book of Revelation,
sure.
by the way, they, the left, uses, or the press, mainstream press, my how they're interchangeable, they use those biblical terms.
Hunker the fuck down then, right?
I mean, how do you say that and not also be like, hug your loved ones?
Huh?
You know, like, you're saying to me that global thermonuclear war is inevitable.
Well, even beyond that, horsemen of the apocalypse.
Yeah. Explain to me why I go to work the next day.
Well, unless your job is digging a hole for your family to hide in, I don't know why you would.
Well, then let's go dig a hole for my family to hide in.
Right.
That's insane.
I mean, conceivably, it's go to the bunkers, right? I mean,
yeah,
like,
that's the only
it's
choice.
It's unstoppable. You said it three times.
I mean, okay. So here's, I feel like the game that is happening there is he's playing a game of chicken with Apocalypse, where he's like, okay, go to work. Have some time. Go out and eat dinner all the time. But, it's coming. So you got to guess.
Well, I will say that I think that Steve said shit like this before, and it hasn't really hurt his career. So I think he's probably a little bit jaded to consequences.
Well, the last time Alex claimed we would get hit by a nuclear bomb, I feel like he suffered consequences for it, right?
None.
Oh.
Also, Steve is like an end times guy. Like, he's on Jim Baker's show
sure.
a bit. Like, he's
yeah.
one of the few people on Alex's show that has, like, crossover to Baker.
Yeah.
And, like, so it's just kind of his thing.
Sure.
It's always unstoppable.
It's always the
happening.
End times. It's always coming.
Yeah.
We're already in the first of the circles, et cetera. Yeah.
Now, like I said,
yeah,
I would have skipped this.
Sure.
Except something happens. And they talk about Jesus a little bit. Now.
You know I love it.
Steve has an interesting relationship with Jesus.
Okay. How can you? Okay. Let's hear it.
So we're skipping breaks tonight. So we got a few minutes left, Steve Quayle. I appreciate you budgeting time, stevequayle.com. Talking about your awakening, your understanding, it's an amazing story. And just the fact we got to get right with God right now. I think more importantly than anything, we should get right with Jesus right now. Spend a little time on that.
Well, no, thank you, Alex. Number one, when you had asked me, and just getting the bottom line, the Bible declares that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. God is the only supreme deity and being, the God of the Bible, that can tell the end at the beginning. And, you know, I had an encounter with Jesus, physically saw him.
What?
And he gave me a panorama of history.
Yeah, he physically saw Jesus.
What's a panorama of history?
Well, we've talked about this before. He's said this on, we've discussed him saying this on the show before.
Right, right. He can see the beginning and the end.
He can see everything.
His own life.
But
yeah.
Also, we'll get to this later. He clarifies a little bit that God doesn't give him every bit of information.
Yeah, that's nice of God.
Yeah, it's sort of like going through fog. You know, like you can see something a little bit ahead, but
right.
not, you know, like not from
right.
a ways off.
Right, right, right.
So he can see like, the next talking point, God gives him
sure.
that much vision.
Sure.
But not like 2, 3, 4 steps down the road.
One thing
but
I've noticed
there's a
about
panorama.
God. One thing I've noticed about God, huge fan of plausible deniability. He loves giving you just enough information to convince just enough people, but not enough information to prove it.
Well, what you don't understand about God is strategic flexibility.
Ah, that is such a good God thing to do.
Yeah. So Steve tells the story of meeting Jesus in the flesh. And I would remind you, this is the night that Alex lost $1 billion.
I believe he lost $1 billion this
night. And here's how we're spending our time.
All right.
In this case, Alex, I accepted Jesus at a Hal Lindsey meeting at the Student Union building. I didn't know, you know, Hal Lindsey explained to me who Jesus was. That's the first time I had anybody explain me who Jesus was, the Savior of the world.
When
I
you saw him?
House, my mother's house is, I don't know, 8 blocks from Montana State University. I walk into my room, which I had a bedroom in the basement, and the bottom line is Jesus physically appears. By the way, I wasn't drunk and I wasn't doing drugs. And I
hey, bro,
go
it's
slow.
Me,
what was it
Jesus.
Like? All of a sudden. Okay. I fell at his feet as one
you
dead.
To get high?
And I couldn't get up. I couldn't get up. And the glory of the Lord. And when I say glory, if you want to know what Jesus looks like, go to Revelation chapter 1. Because when he lifted me up and I said, Lord, who are you? And he said, I'm Jesus, your Savior. And I'm giving you a Joseph's ministry. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know who Joseph was. When he looked into my eyes, every cell in my body exploded with his love, his forgiveness. I had an understanding of just the magnificence of God, though I couldn't have told you one Bible story, you know, probably maybe one, Adam and Eve. And the bottom line is that we're like, it was so overwhelming. For 3 hours, I basked, I guess you'd say, praising him in just the presence of the living God. And after that, he told me I would know him. Now, understand, this is not a dream. This is not a vision. This is like terra firma on earth. And he said, I'd know him
Don't
in a very
do that
special
ever
way
again.
Through his word.
No.
And Alex, fast forward, and you know, after this experience, I had to go speak to an Assembly of God pastor, because he's the only one that could let me know what it meant to have an encounter with Jesus Christ.
So he was on campus.
Sure.
And he went to a Hal Lindsey meeting.
Right.
And he accepted Jesus.
Right.
Not knowing anything about him.
Weird thing to do.
Literally knew nothing.
Weird thing to do.
Went home.
Yeah.
Went to the basement.
Had one.
Boom. Jesus.
There he was.
In the flesh.
Checking him out.
Wow. What are the odds?
Explain to me, honestly, why is Jesus going to Montana?
Gorgeous country.
Ah, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
You know, I saw Jesus once.
Oh.
Like, actually, but not in a...
What, in a manic break?
Yeah, exactly. I had a manic episode, and I was having so many hallucinations. Like, it was one of my first ones. I was gone for, like, 2 or 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and I remember seeing Jesus. I was playing pool in my basement. Where
against
I was,
Jesus.
No. You can't play pool against Jesus, my sure. friend. But no, I remember him like appearing and talking to me. And I was very much like, yeah, man.
Jesus was like, use the horse.
It was cool being in a manic episode when Jesus meets you, because at the same time when you're in a manic episode, you're like, it's nice to meet you as equals, Jesus. You know, like, I'm the savior of humanity. You're the savior of... We've got a lot in common, man.
Well, it certainly is someone you'd want to meet in a vision other than, like, Pete.
Yeah.
You know, just a random
Absolutely.
Hallucination.
No, totally.
Yeah.
No. It's like what everybody
it's
talks
a
about.
A status hallucination.
It's like what everybody talks about their past lives.
Sure.
And they're like, oh, I was Queen Cleopatra. And it'd be like, if your past life is, I was like, I was Dave and he died at 5. You know, like, that's not exciting.
So leaving all that aside,
yeah.
We have Alex doing a show where Steve Quayle is on talking about how he physically met Jesus.
Sure.
And Alex is being like, yeah, bet you did. Love it.
Top,
this is so great.
Top five
so
things great. To do.
Now, if we accept this as reality,
sure.
Game changing.
It does seem like
in
that.
In terms of believing everything Steve Quayle has to say, because he has been... Well, I mean, I'll just let him
okay.
say it. He's
All
been
right.
chosen
oh, shit.
By the Lord.
Oh, no.
Look, I don't know why God chose me. A lot of people say, well, you're such a blah, blah, blah. But God chose me, and when he said he'd give me a Joseph's ministry, that was to prepare the people of God as we come into these end times.
No, it was a Jose's ministry.
Me,
it was very
always,
different.
You know this. You've heard me so many times. I always tell people, look, it's not like I just sit down and figure this stuff out. But God, in his mercy and in his calling to me, opens up events before my eyes, and I get flash forwards. You know, so when you talk about Jesus appearing to you, people say, oh, man, that guy's on LSD. No, I wasn't. I was on heavenly.
Not being able to get up. That's been my experience. Yeah. Like Moses couldn't even see God. It's like I've had that happen a couple times. I can't even. I'm just like, it's like, but I know what you're, and it's like total knowledge is beamed.
Yeah, yeah. And God dumps stuff into you. I call it a data dump.
I think Alex has had, like, I think what he has is night terrors.
Yeah.
Like, he's describing not being able to move, and, like, so many of the things that he comes up with are based on movies he's seen.
Yep.
And they're horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of feels like maybe he wakes up with, like, sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That makes total sense to me, whereas Steve is just a lunatic.
I had a really terrible instance of sleep paralysis one time. I was in this place in fucking Bloomingdale, Illinois.
You woke up and you were watching Jesus play pool.
No. I woke up and, you know, in that night terror where you do the hallucination thing, I woke up and there was a man in a wheelchair slowly wheeling his way into my room. And I don't know why that is so scary, but the speed at which he was doing it was like, wow, he's not even trying to murder me and there's nothing I can do. You know, it was that kind of feeling.
Lazy ass murder.
Yeah, it's not even a hard murder for this dude, you know?
Yeah.
That's tough.
The real night terror for me would be like if I'm there and I can't move,
uh-huh.
Right? Sleep paralysis.
Sure.
And then like Kevin the bird comes
ooh.
In. And I can't hug him.
I'm going to start throwing...
Hug her, excuse me.
I'm going to break into your place and start throwing Eric the bird.
Kevin,
sorry, my bad.
So yeah, I think Alex has night terrors. I think Steve is delusional.
Yeah.
Good use of time on this, this emergency.
Yeah. I'm sorry, did they lose $1 billion today?
It's so weird.
Is this what you do?
So anyway, evil, I guess we would be included in that.
Sure.
We're afraid because Steve has met Jesus.
Ah, it doesn't sound
this
true.
This drives people crazy that don't want to admit there's such Trinity.
This sends the Satanists into rage because this is real. I mean, this is like you were able to look into Christ's eyes. I couldn't even do it. Like, yeah, I was just like hammered on the floor.
That's how you know it's true.
This is so dumb.
Yep.
Anyway, they spend quite a bit of time on this this emergency episode talking about World War III. Right. Russia's cool.
Sure.
Russia's great, actually.
Right.
And then quite a bit about how Steve met Jesus.
Right. I mean, that makes sense. Apocalypse, a country where I wouldn't be prosecuted, and the salvation of the earth. Yeah, that does make sense for I've lost $1 billion
that
day.
I do think that Alex would be prosecuted in Russia for something else.
That's possible.
He would run afoul of some law.
Yeah, if he weren't friends with Putin.
So Alex says goodbye to Steve Quayle. Mm-hmm. Farewell. Give the Giants my best.
Sure.
And he has some other guests.
Look, we got Robert Barnes that worked on the case for 2 years.
And oh my
God. He was
God.
So busy and everything else. He went on to other cases.
So we're going
to
sue him.
He told me, he said, they're going to default you. It's all a fraud. He was right. And I didn't completely listen to his counsel. That's my fault. But he joins us when we come back after this very short, important piece on weather weapons.
How dare you? How dare you get to weather weapons right now?
It took him hours. He tried to get to it right before the verdict.
Of course.
And now in the evening show, he's finally getting to the weather weapons.
Finally there. It's time.
There's continuity. It's a payoff.
We've got to kill time before Barnes shows up.
So yeah, Barnes is coming on. I love the idea that like he was too busy. That's why he didn't follow through with the case.
The idea that Barnes was like, hey, let's cooperate fully. And Alex said no. Infuriates me so hard.
Bobby Barnes is like, let's do this by the book.
Totally. Get the fuck out of here. I swear to God.
Yeah. So the two, like, Barnes is on and the two of them just talk shit with each other about how everything is unfair.
Sure.
The world is against them.
They're heroes, everybody's mean. Yeah.
And there seems to be like a through line between Norm also comes on a little bit.
Of course.
Barnes and Norm both have this like suspicion about how like Chris Maddie said don't donate to InfoWars.
Right.
That's not a good investment, not a good bet.
Right.
And they're like, hey, shouldn't he be wanting everybody to give money to InfoWars? Because then his clients get more money. It's like trying to...
I don't think you're making the argument you think you're making.
Well, they're trying to fundraise off like, hey...
They're trying to fundraise off of them telling their people that they're going to lose their money if they fundraise. Yeah.
Kind of. But yeah. They're also like, secretly, we're not going to give them any money, so everything is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very weird. I find it uncompelling.
Yeah.
But one thing I do find compelling is that Alex, I think, maybe had a few pops because he seems to be...
Soda pops?
No. He seems to be communicating a little bit differently.
Ah.
Again, the whole thing, the $1 billion verdict is to scare everybody. What is this really meant to do? And then you predicted this on the show 2 weeks ago, a week ago, and in Connecticut 2 weeks ago. You said... This FBI agent, I never said his name, don't know who the hell he is.
Yes, we know, man.
If they can get public officials to sue people and win because you question a public event or criticize the government, they have victory. Well, here is this Texas major government official, Secretary of State, was in hundreds of newspapers yesterday. Every Texas TV station that we looked at said... Alex Jones,
how you doing, buddy?
Released hell by questioning the 2020 Texas election. I didn't even question Texas.
He seems to be suffering to get these words out.
Yeah, that's a bit of a struggle.
I don't know if he's like had a few drinks or if like he's just gassed, but like it's very weird.
I swear to you, in this one instance. I cannot judge anyone's behavior for the moment after they receive a $1 billion judgment. I don't know how you would behave.
What's
after
the baseline?
That. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I feel like getting absolutely shit-faced beyond all reason makes just as much sense as anything else.
No, if Alex came on and he was wearing a lampshade.
Totally.
And was just like, ha!
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
It brought the llama back.
Had like, symbols yes. and was just bouncing them together. Yeah, that makes more sense than going on trying to defend yourself.
Yes. I would have no qualms with that.
What do you have to lose?
I would have no confusion, nothing.
Nope.
Nothing to report here. Maybe, Alex was wasted.
You know what's crazy? Maybe for the first time in anyone's life, you could have true clarity after receiving a $1 billion judgment of just like, you know what? Literally nothing I do matters at this point.
Well, you know what I think would be fitting too? Like that episodes from like way back where he gets really drunk and yells at Adam Schiff and talks about jizzing on a human skull.
I remember that.
That should be what that show tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
That should be that
totally.
Show.
Totally.
That would make sense.
Absolute insanity.
Yes.
Yeah, that would make sense.
But instead, the show where he talks to Steve Quayle about physically meeting Jesus and then is like burping through sort of banal conversation with Robert Barnes. It's like, I don't know.
That's disappointing.
Yeah. Start screaming about art and skulls and the ways to learn. Come on, buddy.
I mean, I've not said this before to too many people, but Alex, I think you should get drunk at work.
If there ever is a time when everyone would think it's fine.
Totally fine.
It's
absolutely.
This.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, Alex is just like, they're not getting my money.
And as long as people keep InfoWars on the air by buying products that they like anyway at good prices, they will lose. I mean, that's
good itself, prices,
regardless of what
Barnes.
Happens with the courts, regardless of what happens with the bankruptcies, regardless of what happens with anything else out there, as long as the people stick with InfoWars, they cannot break through that line.
And notice Chris Matty said that. Don't give him money. Supposedly his plaintiffs are going to get it, but he doesn't want that. It's his mission to silence us. No, they're not getting any of the money, folks.
Absolutely. And what it shows is that what they have figured out is that the audience is what keeps InfoWars alive. And they thought they could use this public smear campaign through a public show trial. That's what show trials are all about, public smear campaigns, to be able to get the audience to turn away from InfoWars and Alex Jones.
Yeah, so Alex, I think the journey past the Steve Quayle portion of this episode is just kind of the same shit he says with Barnes normally.
Yeah.
And then just a progression of him audibly falling apart.
Okay.
It's about getting the InfoWars audience to not listen to itself. to not support itself, to not embrace itself, to not share with itself. That's what they. That's
right.
The,
we're a rallying point that they hate. They hate the audience. And he's
oh, I can hear it
up there. Don't give it support. I don't want my plaintiffs to get money. No, it's not about that. It's about silencing us.
Completely. It's all about getting people. The best form of censorship is self-censorship. And what they want is people to begin to self-censor their support of InfoWars.
Good on Barnes trying to do some heavy lifting to like carry the weight there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get a little bit of that vibe off Alex, and it's not inspiring.
I feel like the traditional, like stereotypical child of divorce, you know, with that like hypersensitivity towards the moods of certain people as to like, oh, I know what happens next whenever this type of tone,
mm-hmm.
like when Alex starts talking with that kind of thing, it's like, oh man, I'm so hypersensitive to that. Like, I know what's coming, man, you know?
Yeah, and to, just to like not be seeming like I'm being a tease or anything, there is no like blow up here. He just seems
not
like,
on air.
No, good point.
That's the point.
Yeah, there is just sort of a like blah, gurgly
yeah.
thing going on that doesn't inspire a lot of confidence, but it also isn't all that interesting.
No.
So Barnes says some shitty things.
This was never about false statements. This was never about the families, frankly. They were simply the tool by which they could try to shame the InfoWars audience into silencing InfoWars and censoring.
Well, Robert
InfoWars.
Barnes, I've got to say, this isn't fun. It's not happy, but I'm proud to be the main target of these people. Stay right there. Let's bring Norm Pattis on. You guys can respond to each other right now. I'm going to just let you guys go back and forth. He
Probably.
Was there. He witnessed this. He's been gagged. I wasn't gagged, despite what the media said.
They didn't.
But now that the verdict's out, Norm Pattis can actually talk about what he witnessed and what he saw and wasn't allowed to defend me.
Yeah, I mean, like, why can't it be both, Barnes? Why can't it be about the families and about what Alex did and also about shutting his ass up?
Hey, that's a compound problem that is far beyond Barnes's ability
doesn't
to understand.
Feel at all mutually exclusive.
No. In fact, almost symbiotic in their relationship.
Yeah. So as this goes along, Norm says a lot of basically the same shit that he said with Owen earlier. And he is giving long talks.
Wow. Like, and he wasn't allowed to talk in court.
I will say there was one moment that I didn't cut a clip from, but I thought it was pretty cute, and that was like Alex asked Barnes a question, and Norm is like, oh, I'm sorry, I've been talking too much.
Aw.
Haters gonna hate.
Haters gonna hate, man.
Try
and say the N-word. Haters gonna hate.
But yeah, as it goes along, you just get the sense that Alex is just, he's run out of gas.
Folks, I'm in the war. You want to back us, back us. I've been in this so damn long. We got nuclear war. They've killed 20 million people with poison shots. It's all coming out. I'm just going to keep being a man to the end. And everybody's feeling sorry for me. Don't feel sorry for me. Feel sorry for the millions of illegals brought across, hundreds of thousands of kidnapped kids. Feel sorry for kids at drag queen story time, their parents take them to. I mean, look, I'm a man. I'm tough. I can take it. Well, keep me in the fight. Back us. InfoWarsStore.com. SaveInfoWars.com. But, man, this is just so shameful, Barnes.
Oh, it's completely shameful. It is a shameful moment, maybe one of the most shameful moments in the history of American law.
Oh, I thought you meant the show that you're doing right now is shameful.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's a shame to American law. Oh, sorry, I misread that.
Yeah, I don't know if Barnes has ever said anything more true unintentionally. That's the most true thing I think he's ever said, honestly.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have Alex like being like, hey, fuck it. You know what? Give us money or don't.
Come get us.
But that is still like a desperate plea for money.
Yeah.
It is the appearance of like, I don't, he's trying to beg the audience.
It's bravado.
You know?
Yeah, totally.
I don't even want your money.
Hey, listen, I have got so much money. I mean, I'm bankrupt. But I'm powerful. I've got the will. I got the will to give me your money or not. I don't give a fuck. But seriously, give me your money.
It's admirable. It's not.
No.
But it does lead to Alex doing an interesting plug.
Interesting.
And it leads me to think things are worse than he wants to let on.
Uh-oh.
But, I mean, where can you donate better? You heard the plaintiff's lawyers, the Democrat anti-gun creature, say, do not give Alex Jones money. It's a lost cause. He means you're a lost cause. He wants to break your will. He hates this show because I'm a focal point of liberty and freedom standing against these creatures. But I'm not worried about it at the end of the day. I've already hit the next level in this fight, thanks to your support. And there are so many up-and-comers and so many great leaders. I'm seeing God's vision unfold here. But I've got more to do in the fight. So go to 1776coin.com. 1776coin.com. It's a fundraiser, Man the Arena coin. There's a special running right now with 1776coin.com with the promo code 1776. You get $30 off of the coin. Yeah, the coin's a fundraiser coin. Infowarsstore.com or 1776coin.com. And
so the idea of this coin is we're selling it at a high markup,
right,
as a fundraiser,
it's a fundraiser
for the show.
Yeah.
So if you want to buy this, it costs more, but it's symbolic.
It's
of,
really a donation.
Right.
Yeah.
So now,
war bonds.
Now
yes,
we're offering this way cheaper.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not a fundraiser
we
anymore.
We need to get this shit
the
out.
The fundraiser
here.
Part is now optional.
The
please
fundraiser
just
is
buy these
good.
Goods.
The fundraiser's good.
Yeah.
But we got to get this shit out
it
of here.
It shows a lack of commitment to the idea of that fundraiser that has no chill to it, really.
It's, I'm going to ask you.
There's an air of stinky desperation.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
What exactly do you think I'm going to do with 20,000 coins with no value? Nothing.
Create a Teddy Roosevelt room. yeah, that to me was a sign of, you got to move these fucking coins.
Yeah.
And we need whatever we can make on them.
Yeah.
Fuck the fundraiser thing.
Totally.
We need some money.
I need flow.
Yeah. So Alex goes off air. And
to raucous applause from everybody. I think Chris Meddy called in and was like, thank God that you apologized. And now we.
No, none of that happens.
No, none of that?
Keep an eye out for the last words that he says.
Okay.
Here.
Oh,
I
God.
Want those sons of globalist satanic bastards to go to SaveInfoWars.com, Legal Defense Fund, and I want them to see hundreds of thousands of dollars, not $160,000 in a few weeks of me begging, because it takes money to beat these creatures. And I want you to go to InfoWarsStore.com and get incredible products you need. You heard them. Don't bet on Jones. Don't give him money. He's a lost cause. They're saying you're a lost cause, and you're not a lost cause. This is a damn war, and it takes money to win wars. I got a few more tricks up my sleeve, though. God gave me.
What?
All right, we're going to go to break. Air Norm Pattison's press conference, a few other clubs that Owen Schwartz is going to take over. And I'll be back, Lord willing, 11 a.m. Central tomorrow. Before that, there is American Journal with the great Harrison Smith, 8 a.m. Central. The coordinates are infowars.com/show. God bless. Thanks for your support and good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck.
It's a weird.
that's not quite good luck and good night.
Yeah.
That's a very different tone of good luck.
What kind of luck does the audience need here?
I mean, you just told me an hour ago that nuclear war was inevitable.
Oh, good luck with that.
And there's no stopping it.
Well, good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck digging that hole
hey,
for your
listen,
family.
Listen, good luck.
We're
all in this individually.
Find myself quite uninspired.
Yeah.
So, look, we had the $1 billion judgment.
Yeah.
And obviously, Alex's response to that in the moment is about what you'd expect.
Yeah.
Cheering it on and sort sure. of making a game of
woo,
it.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Later on in the evening, he does his emergency show. And at this point, I would say the mission is to do the best show you could possibly do. Do a show that lays out some hard-hitting information that the globalists don't want people to have.
Right.
Prove your worth.
Right.
Do something that is undeniably great. Because here's the deal. Everyone already fucking knows that you lost $1 billion.
Yeah.
The audience knows that.
Yep.
They know you need money.
Yep.
You don't have to be a desperate weirdo. Do something. Don't spend a fucking hour with Barnes and Norm complaining yep. and whining about nonsense. Do something that really changes the game, because you probably have the most eyes possible on things, the most attention, the most, like, if your mission is really about an information war, information. Boom.
Yeah.
Don't spend time talking with Steve Quayle about how he physically met Jesus.
Yeah.
Don't do that. And to me, the reason that he did that is because he has nothing else. There isn't something else that he can do.
No, there's no elevation.
No.
No, there's no way that he can be like,
there
let's go back
product.
To basics. Because there was no basics.
No.
There was never anything. He was empty from the start.
Yeah, G. Edward Griffin won't answer his phone calls. Yep. Webster Tarpley doesn't like him. Scousen's in bed.
Yeah, like, it is.
Ron Paul doesn't want to come on anymore. And what does it matter if he did?
Trump
doesn't answer his phone calls. He couldn't even get Roger.
No, he's the whoopee cushion of the right. He's got nothing
left.
We
have an emergency.
Yeah.
Roger's not here.
Well, Roger's got his own problems if the January 6th committee has.
I wonder if Steve Pachenik wouldn't even come on. I wonder if that was like, he's like, I'm gonna pass on this
one. Well, hey, Alex, I've done all I can for you.
I lost you $1 billion.
There's no way for you to not love me still after having lost you $1 billion.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah. Also, this is a strange thought, but Steve Pachenik came up, so Roger recently was on Alex's show in the middle of a hurricane that hit Florida.
Right.
And Roger did not correct Alex's politeness.
Brutal.
He did not give him a lesson in manners.
Brutal.
And I found that to be disappointing. Just for continuity, I would have liked it if Roger was like, you didn't ask how I'm doing.
It really should be a situation where we could put together a supercut eventually of like people in Florida during hurricanes.
Maybe he calls somebody in LA when there's fires.
Totally. 10 years from now, we've got a whole thing that we can write. Everybody needs to correct his politeness. Yeah. Yes.
Alex, I'm doing fine. Thanks. Yeah.
We would play that with My Way underneath it.
This is a sad showing for an emergency broadcast.
Yeah.
And I watched a little bit of Owen's like phone call show, but it's like 3 hours and who cares?
Brutal.
But yeah, I mean, they did what they could. They did a whole day, went till midnight, and then Alex's show the next day, and of course, the great Harrison Smith in the Journal, and then Owen's War Room, and, you know, about 200,000.
Man.
I don't know. It seems like the juice is not loose.
Every movie you've ever seen where it's like, uh-oh, the leader of the pack, like the A-team has got a serious problem that's arisen and just for them, you can turn around and you look at your team and be like, we can do this together. Maybe it won't be easy. Maybe we won't win. Maybe it's not 100% shot, but I believe that you and I can do this together. And Alex looking over at Owen has to be like, I am going to pay $1 billion.
Owen, or Alex turns around. He sees Owen. He sees Bobby Barnes. He sees Norm. He sees Steve Quayle rambling
Norm
about.
Is Norm the face man in this?
No, he looks around, comes back, and he says, good luck.
Good luck.
He's like, my team sucks. This is no good.
We're fucked. We're in trouble.
So we will be back, probably a sneaky snake over the weekend, and then back on Monday with a little bit more of a follow up on things. But this is the immediate.
This is what we got.
Yeah. So, but until then, until we see you again, we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's at @knowledge_fight.
Yep. We'll be back. But, and, hey.
No, I'm done. Uh-oh. I had a day. It was a good day.
Okay.
It was a good day.
All right. Well, for that day, I say,
thank you, Jordan.
You son of a bitch.
We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Wilford Snibble Snabble of the Gribble Pibble.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.